This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek, and I am in Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 16th, episode 1125, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning on this Monday morning. And I have the most important news of the day. It doesn't involve horses. It doesn't involve Jamie's adventures over the weekend. It doesn't involve Thor. It doesn't involve my dog. It involves ice cream. Yes, it is Dairy Queen Day around the country, and they are giving away free vanilla ice cream cones in celebration of Dairy Queen's 75th anniversary. So you can get yourself a free ice cream cone at Dairy Queen today. Just saying.
Wow. So does that mean you just go there and you ask, like, and they just give you one of those squishy, like, they pull the handle and the ice cream comes out in a plain old ice cream cone?
Yes, correct. Vanilla. Okay. You can't even get chocolate. It's a free
really? Vanilla
soft serve.
What do those
but
cost?
It's free.
Like,
what do you want?
75
right?
cents, right? You're going to wait in line for 3 hours to get a 75 cent ice cream.
I wonder if they are going to be busy or people that just happen to be there, you know, notice it. I don't know.
You know, Chipotle did a thing about a month ago where they were giving away, if you bought a Sofritos burrito, which is the tofu, you got a free burrito. And a lot of people thought, well, it's tofu. Like, who's going to wait in line for tofu? And I thought, yeah, who's going to wait in line for a free tofu burrito? You know, so I go to Chipotle on that day. Oh, my God. I waited in line for like an hour and a half for a free freaking burrito. You know, and you got the receipt for the free one next time. So then you had to go twice. But I was shocked. And like, there's like old men getting tofu burritos. I was really actually kind of proud. But, yeah, free food will get anybody.
I guess. So there's going to be a line for the first time ever at Dairy Queen today? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Well,
I'll give
I
you a quarter, Glenn.
We did get a new ice cream place in town, and it's a small franchise. We never had an ice cream place in Ocala. You know, you think every Florida town should have an ice cream place, right?
Yeah.
And she's never had a soft ice cream place in Ocala. And then finally this little chain came in called, what's it called, Jennifer?
Twisty Treat.
Yeah, and the building is in the shape, it's one of those that the retro, that the building is in the shape of an ice cream cone, you know, on the top and everything. Boy, they do have the best ice cream. And let me tell you what, it is a license to print money. I wish I had done it myself because the line is about 20 deep all the time. We were there on a Saturday night, and boy, that was a mistake. There was about 100 people there. So obviously there was a need for, I think every town in Florida should have a soft ice cream place. It should be required.
Now I want some ice cream, like right now. I'm vegan. I don't even eat ice cream anymore, for God's sake. I need some tofu-ty or something.
Tofu ice cream. Ew. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following an out-of-control gallop through the weekend's adventures between our intrepid co-hosts, we will enjoy a chat with Kathy Meyer from the USEF Network, the folks who live stream free for your enjoyment. Really cool horse stuff. And following a quick trot through the latest horse headlines, Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation is going to stop by with a preview of the Rolex Kentucky three-day event, also known as Mecca of American Eventing. So stay tuned.
And shopping.
And shopping.
And shopping.
Oh, man. Shopping.
All right.
Ever.
Daily Winnie's time. Well, last night, and we didn't get to watch it, we were out to dinner, but last night was the finals for the 2015 Equestrians Got Talent Chronicle. The horse had it live. They had like 12 competitors that had made it through the preliminary rounds to make it to the finals. And the winner was Brian Lookabill, who everybody in Wellington knows his name because he's one of the most popular announcers down there. And he travels the country announcing for jumping events mostly. But Brian is a singer, and he sang. I looked for the audio everywhere, and they did not have a replay of it up. They covered it live, but I couldn't find a recorded version. I was going to get a little bit of the sound from his winning performance, but I couldn't get it for you. So maybe on Wednesday I'll have some of the sound will be posted, and we'll be able to put it up there. But congratulations to Brian for winning. He's the 2015 Equestrian Got Talent winner. Apparently they had fire jugglers and all different kinds of things. It wasn't just singing. It
wow.
was a bunch of different stuff. Yep, so that was cool. And Aiden, our friend Aiden Uhler, who was in the finals last night, who we had on the show a while back, and who Reese, a host of the Dressage radio show, was a backup dancer for, she didn't win last night. I actually asked her if she gets a chance to call in this morning so we can get a report. So Aiden might be giving us a call. But, yeah, Reese was a backup singer and dancer last night. So I got to hear how that went, too.
Yeah, now I'm interested. I have two Daily Winnies. My first one goes to Robin Donahue. And Robin is a listener of ours who messaged me on Saturday saying that she is officially that girl. And that girl, she went to a driving event. What are those when you do the 3-day,
combined
the three
driving.
Chase?
It's a CDE, combined driving event.
Combined driving event. And I guess... No, I must point out that she ended up winning, so that automatically takes her out of the that girl running. Yeah.
How can you be that girl when you win?
I know. It's total crap. But let me just tell you what she did. So she says, her message said, right now I'm waiting to drive my mare on marathon course for the first time. But I need somebody to get on the back to tell me where the hell to go since I was too late to walk my course. Because my truck and trailer got stuck in the mud, blocking the entire way to the parking for the whole event.
All right, wait a minute. She probably counts as that girl, don't you think? Well, keep going. Let's see how bad it gets.
Okay, so it keeps going. There's the fact that my diesel truck is on fumes. The count says that she has 0 miles left because she forgot her entire wallet on the way to the event. So she can't even walk the course. It's one of those, we just had these dreams we were talking about with Horse Nation where you get
yes.
to an event and they're like, 5 minutes till you go. And
you're
like,
you know
what? I don't even know what I'm doing.
It's harder than walking a course for regular ridden eventing too, because when you're doing the marathon, every obstacle has two or three or four gates that you have to know A, B, C, D in every obstacle you do. It's difficult to do even
listen,
walk the course.
Listen, let me tell you why that's total crap. Is because when I don't know my course, I can't have somebody get on the horse with me and tell me where to go. There's no double riding in cross country, okay? So at least she had the opportunity to have somebody on the thing with her. Anyway, my point is, she ended up winning, so it nullifies the entire that girl experience. But apparently before she won the whole thing, people were going to take up a collection to get her gas money. Because I messaged her back. I'm like, oh, what? You know, your husband could bring you your wallet. How far away from home are you? 4 hours. Oh, yeah, that's not going to work. So she wins the whole thing.
And you don't win any money in CDEs either, so that wasn't going to help.
Yeah, no, then he handed her cash. So she wins the whole thing. Needless to say, her truck is still stuck in the mud, and now nobody's going to give her money. You know, she just beat everybody. Who's going to give her money? So apparently some woman, out of the kindness of her heart, gave Robin some gas money and some food and sent her on her way. Robin's supposed to send her a check.
If I had Pitiful Girl, I would play that. But, you know, I think in Robin's honor, we still need it.
I don't want to be that girl.
Best girl, best girl, best girl.
Yep. Just so you know, if you are ever that girl, or that guy for that matter, which is typically Glenn, please let me know. Misery loves company, okay? And I just need to know about it. So we appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, congratulations, Robin. Good job.
Yeah, right?
And despite what Jamie says, I know how hard it is to go through, even with a navigator on the back. Those are pretty tight turns if you don't know where you're going. So good job.
All right. Next Daily Winnie. So you remember on Friday we were talking about all these horse races that are coming up this past weekend, and Untappable, who was Rosie Napravnik's ride, and she won the Breeders' Cup Fillies, she then announced her pregnancy, and she's not riding the horse anymore. So anyway, I said Untappable is by far going to win this race. And I was not alone. She was bet down to odds of 1-9, I think, was what she went off at. And that means you have to spend $9 to win $1. Okay, so we're looking at not so great. So everybody knew that this horse was going to win, and it was kind of a race for second place. Well, Untappable did not win. Untappable came in second place. It was a very good race, but she did not win. So I was totally wrong. Never bet what I say, just in case you guys don't know. But I did pick the horse that was going to win in the Rebel Stakes, which is American Pharoah. American Pharoah was the Eclipse Award champion, two-year-old, beat out Texas Red for the Eclipse Award in January. And so he actually was kind of a sleeper pick because he hasn't raced in 5 months. He ended up not even running in the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Juvenile because he hurt himself. So he's been off for 5 months, and he was coming back to his first start, and it was muddy. They almost scratched him. So let's listen to the race.
And they're off in the Rebel. Tis Wonderful Creek hopped in the air, and American Pharoah comes out running for the lead. Paid Admission, Bold Conquest, Up Closer Today, Made from Lucky along the inside. Then comes Sakima, Tis Wonderful Creek, and the early trailer is The Truth or Else. American Pharoah will dictate his own terms. He's in front by two lengths around the first turn, with Made from Lucky just in front of Paid Admission, a joint second. Then comes Bold Conquest, 4 3.5 lengths off the lead. The Truth or Else inches a bit closer. The pace is soft up top. Tis Wonderful Creek is in between horses. Sakima just went by him. Down the backstretch they go. American Pharoah leads it by a length. Paid Admission now takes second. At the rail, Made from Lucky is in third. Bold Conquest in the yellow cap is 2.5 lengths off the heavy favorite. The Truth or Else just inside of him. Two clear of Sakima. And then it's Tis Wonderful Creek. They're heading to the 3/8 pole, chasing American Pharoah in front by a length. Paid Admission is in second and asks for more now. Made from Lucky, a close-up third. Bold Conquest still outside of him. The Truth or Else has 3.5 to make up. He's between horses at this point. Then comes Sakima and Tis Wonderful Creek. They're 1/4 mile from home. Victor Espinoza just sitting on American Pharoah. And he asks the question now, opening up to lead by 2. Bold Conquest is finishing nicely on the outside of Made from Lucky. Then comes The Truth or Else. They're in the final furlong, and it's all American Pharoah answering this test with flying colors. American Pharoah will romp home in the Rebel, widening to win by about 8.
So big. Big, big win. And they went on to say, you know, apparently when he did get hurt last fall, they said they give him off 30 days, and they gave him 2 months. They gave him 60 days. They said they're treating it. They treated it like it was suspensory, a big problem, and they erred on the side of caution. And sadly, the trainer is Bob Baffert, who we don't love on the show because of the movie 51. And he turned out to be a big jerk in that. But Victor Espinosa is great. He's a great rider, and I really like American Pharoah the Horse. So this is one of your leading Derby contenders. And, you know, when he moved around in the gate at the beginning, he totally tweaked his shoe, bent his shoe, and ran on a muddy track the whole way and still won. It's just, that shows a lot of heart. I like the horse. I do. I just,
okay. American Pharoah, another one to watch. I saw Texas Red was doing some workouts, and they're slowly working him up and still hoping to get him out before the Kentucky Derby. So he's still not out of the running yet, and apparently his workouts are going pretty well.
Oh, it was really cool, actually. If you go to his Facebook page, for that entire time he was off with the abscess, they swam him in a really, really awesome pool. So if you've never seen a horse swim before, it was really cool. So go check that out, Texas Red, on his Facebook page.
Very good. And I also wanted to thank Uta for our Monday morning graphic that you'll see on our Facebook page, too. She did that
nice.
For us. So thank you for that. Well, let's talk a little bit about your picture. I got to see a picture of you and Monty and my friend Debbie, Monty's daughter. Monty Roberts, of course, we're talking about. You got to go to a clinic he was doing on Friday night and got to meet Debbie Laux, the host of the Horsemanship Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network, and a super sweetie. So how'd it go?
Oh, my gosh. She is, like, one of the nicest people I've ever met. And she's nice to everybody. You know, so many people come up to her to talk through her instead of going to Monty, and she just handles it like a pro. I met her husband. Tommy's so sweet. A tennis pro, Glenn, so you're going to have to pick his brain.
I didn't know that. I've known Debbie for what, probably 8 years. I didn't know that he was a tennis pro.
Yeah, you know, so, of course, adorable Debbie is going to marry some hot tennis pro. It's just the way it works, you know. So it was a really, oh, my gosh. So I really went to, you know, it's an hour and a half away. I took some neighbors. We planned on leaving at intermission, and we just kind of wanted to go up. I wanted to check out the ranch and see the place and meet Debbie, and then we're going to leave because it was really late. The whole thing finished at, like, on paper at 11 o'clock, which means it's going to finish at midnight, you know. So went out there, and I did not expect to be so blown away by Monty's horsemanship. I saw him years ago do his join up techniques, and I use join up on every first horse that I get when I put him in the round pin. It's what you do. I even look for join up techniques on the lunge line, you know, the different things that they do. If you guys aren't familiar with it, I'll tell you what, it is, his methods are so simple and so gentle. That's what I was really amazed at. Even just the clippers, they had a horse that was afraid of clippers, they had a horse that wouldn't load, they had a horse that was never been
he's 80 freaking years old, and they always give him these horses that have the worst problems.
Yeah, but you know, I gotta tell you, let me back up a little bit. I planned to leave at intermission, and at some point, I think it was when he was working the horse with clippers, you know, there's 300 people there, and in an indoor arena in the cold, and he's in the middle of the arena, freaking almost 80 years old, working a horse with clippers. And as he's working the clippers, he is talking to the crowd, and he's like, listen, you guys, after intermission, we're going to do a giveaway of one of the dually halters, and then after the intermission, I've got a lot of stuff planned, so Jamie, don't leave. And we're all, like, I had a bunch of friends behind me, too, and we're all like, what did he say? And he continues to use the clippers, like, on the horse's ear, like, most super impressive, and uses an electric brush, which is really amazing. And then he's like, yeah, so this horse right here, it's got a issue with the clipper, blah, 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 and you're going to see a great trailer loading demo after Jamie, you can't leave. And he says it again. And all of us are like, oh, crap. Well, we can't leave now.
Yeah, because everybody's going to be watching you.
And people are like, and I had a whole bunch of friends that live, that I didn't even know were going
to
be there, and they were all there, and they were sitting. They were sitting behind me, and they all started laughing. So the whole place looks at me because I'm like, I put my head in my hands. I was so embarrassed, and he looks at me. Debbie looks at me. Everybody looks at me. I was like, "Hello, that girl. You're not leaving here ever." So I get to. I bought the book Shy Boy. He's got a book about his Mustang, and it's a kind of a book for teenagers. I feel like it's in the perspective of Shy Boy. So I bought the book and. He meets and greets with every single person in that entire place. He's every break, before, after, everything. He sits in the chair and lets you come up and talk to him and get your picture with him. He's so unbelievably kind. And I got the book signed, and we go up to see him, and Debbie's like, "This is Jamie from Horses in the Morning," and he's like, "What?" You know, he has no idea who I am. And she's like, "Yeah, she is a horse racing expert." I'm like, no. Like, no, stop. And he's like, "Oh, you're a horse racing expert, are you? Who won the Santa Anita Derby in 1976? And I'm like, "Wait, I didn't say I was a horse racing expert. First of all, second of all, that was before I was born. I was born in 77. That doesn't count. And third of all, I'm going to assume that it's one of your horses." And he was like, "Yes, it was an act in 1976 that won the Santa Anita." I was like, "Okay, so at least I got that part right. It was one of his horses, and I learned something." But I was mortified. I was like, "This guy's like a horse racing legend, and here don't tell him I'm an expert. I can tell you who won last year. You know, I'm not a baseball encyclopedia here." Anyway, so. I'm so glad I stayed, and I'm so glad he embarrassed me publicly, because the trailer loading demonstration, we've all been to those clinics where they say they're going to do trailer loading, and they lunge the horse to pieces, and they spin him around, and they run him up the side, and all this nonsense, and it takes forever, and the demonstration's an hour, and at this point, it was like 10:30, and they give the microphone to the owner. And they're like, how have you, tell us about this horse and his loading past. And the guy says, "Well, we bought this horse 4 years ago, and they told us that it didn't load." And we said, "Well, if you can get it to us, we'll buy it." The horse was heavily sedated when it arrived, getting in the trailer. The next time they loaded it was coming to this event. And they had been trying for 5 days. They starved the horse, put the food in the trailer, and said, "The only way that you're going to get food is to go in the trailer and eat it." And the horse didn't eat for 5 days. So they're like, clearly that didn't work. So they tried forever and ever and ever. And somehow, I don't know, they said somehow they got him in to a stock trailer by basically chasing him in and using whips and butt ropes and everything like that. They said, the guy said, "Everything you probably preach against is how we got this horse in the trailer for the first time." So we're talking years and years and years. And at this point, while he's talking, Monty has one of those dually halters on. And it's like a pressure halter. It doesn't have the painful knots I call my Be Nice halter that I got from another trainer. And it's a kind of like a double, I don't know, I can't even explain it. But
I have a hard time explaining it too, but it has
a pulling and a pushing.
Like a chain over the nose, kind of, but not as harsh.
It's not as harsh, and it has, like, when you pull it or you push, if you pull them forward or back them up, it creates pressure, and the pressure is released when the horse moves. So unlike the rest of them, there's no pulling.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's got
hard
both. Yeah, it's hard to describe. Go on and to look at it. Anyway, so as he is talking, he's asking the horse to step forward, step back, step forward, step back. And and these horses are like on top of him, and he's like, "Get off," you know, and he pops them in the nose and moves them away and moves them forward. And he's talking, the crowd's talking, and, you know, the owner's talking. And there's a trailer that they have the ramp down, and the trailer's wide open. And as he's talking, the people are years and years, and the woman's probably about crying, and the guy is, like, so frustrated. The horse walks in the frickin' trailer. And I was like, "Wait, hold up. What just happened?" And he didn't walk him all the way in, because he walked him two steps up the ramp and then backed him off. And everybody, I mean, the owner's jaw dropped. Here it's like we're all expecting this big scene. And no, he backs him up, pulls him forward, walks him forward, walks him back, walks forward, walks him back, walks him in the trailer. I'm not kidding you, Glenn. In 7 minutes, this horse is trotting into the trailer. He unhooks the lead rope, and the horse follows him into the trailer. My neighbors that came with me are like horsemanship gurus. They're Clint Anderson, Craig Cameron. You know, they love going to these clinics. Even they agreed. And, you know, I did a John Lyons apprenticeship. I've seen it all. I've never seen a better trailer loading demo in my entire life. It was by far the coolest. I am inspired. I did not go there to be inspired. I went there to meet Debbie. I am going to go on to his university online and join because I am super excited to learn more. The techniques for everything were so gentle. There's no running him around and beating the crap out of him and hitting him with a whip. There's no whip. There's no whip. He uses a lunge line to get them to move forward.
Oh, he doesn't like whips.
Yeah,
for anything.
I don't either.
He doesn't like them for anything. You know, we use them in driving, and Debbie sort of forgives me for that because you actually, they're your aids for driving. We don't have legs and feet. So, you know, we kind of use them as aids for driving, but she forgives us for that, but that's about it.
It was amazing. I got to tell you, it was the trailer loading alone. I'm not trying to sell the membership or whatever. I don't really even know much about it. But if that's you guys, holy crap. It was amazing. I mean, I've never seen anything so fast. And then the next horse they bring in, I'm like, "Oh my god, it's almost like 5 till 11." And the thing's supposed to end at 11. Here I am, you know, I still have an hour and a half drive home. I'm freaking out.
Way past your bedtime.
Way past my bedtime. I got bed at like 9, you know. So I'm like, this one's going to take forever because then these people start telling their story. And it's this horse was beat. It was hit. It was, I don't know. It's like, you know, these trailer loading stories. It's just the sob story piled on and piled on. Horrible experience. He basically brings the horse onto the trailer in less than 2 minutes. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything as impressive as that. I do know, I mean, I've always known that they say trailer loading is a leading problem. If your horse leads correctly, then it will follow you anywhere. It was never more apparent than in this thing. Oh, my gosh, you guys, it was so cool. Go online and see this trailer loading demo. It's just awesome. It was just awesome.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you got a lot out of it and you liked it.
I did.
He tells jokes the whole time. Usually, I don't know if he was that night, but he's usually funny. He's telling jokes and cracking up.
He's hilarious. And what's also hilarious is watching him do the demonstration where the horse hasn't been, you know, it's an unbroke horse, ungentled horse, and he puts the dummy on it.
He has a little dummy. Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That thing was hilarious. And I love it.
It flaps around. It's really flappy.
Yeah, it flaps around and it connects it to the bridle. It looks like a person.
Yes.
And this horse bucked like crazy and he bucked the hat off. And he was like, somebody grabbed the hat and pulled it outside the ramp. And he's like, no, give me that hat. I want to put it back on. So he brings the horse in and puts the hat back on the dummy. It was hilarious. And he's so funny. So I really, I've always loved Monty and I've loved his methods forever, but I had no idea that there was so much more to it, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, aside from the join up, there's so much more to it. And I'm excited.
Aren't you
to
glad
just
that he called you out?
You, you were right. He was right. Monty was right. I should have stayed. Thanks, Debbie. It's great.
I'll have to talk to her about that next time we record. That's funny.
But it wasn't even like she was right in his ear. He'd been doing the demonstration for 45 minutes, and he just just starts talking about it. I'm like, this is embarrassing. Okay, I can't leave.
No, you would have
grounded.
Been back for sure.
Yeah. Told my neighbors, I'm like, sorry, you guys. They're like, no, this is awesome. We wanted to stay anyway. I was like, okay. I'm the only old fogey in the whole thing.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Great. That's terrific. And I'm glad you got to meet him. He's an interesting guy. And, boy, he is dead set on his work. I mean, he is so passionate about what he does. And they put him in the ring with these horses that are just out of control. And you're right. It's just in a matter of minutes. It is amazing to watch. It really is. And, you know, I've seen those trailer demonstrations, too. I won't mention the name of the one clinician who spent an hour trying to get the horse in. And we were all sitting back there going, are you kidding me? What the hell is he doing? So,
really?
You know, we've seen those, and that was with about 300 people watching. I won't mention his name, you know.
Oh, please
Indian
do.
Pony Boy. But I won't mention
that.
But spent an hour doing that and never accomplished getting the horse in the trailer.
Really? Oh, boy.
We had one trailer loading story. I bought one of my Percherons at an auction, and it was late. It was about 6, 7 o'clock at night. We'd been there since 9 in the morning. We buy this 18-month-old Percheron that already standing over 17 hands and has legs the size of tree trunks. And we have this little trailer, and we're trying to get him in, and he just won't load. And it had a ramp, if I remember right. And he just won't load. He just won't load. And he just won't load. And this Amishman walks by and goes, oh, you want to have some help? And we were like, okay. And he takes the horse and walks him in the trailer.
Are you kidding me? I almost right cussed.
Not even two sprints. All right, just walked him right in the trailer. Says, there you go. Like, oh, man.
Can you come home with me? Move in with me? Live with me? Thank you.
I don't know. Some people just have the way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Walked him right in.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Well, I'm glad you had to be. That's terrific. Well, let's hear from Jennifer, has been testing one of Omega Alpha products, and she's going to tell us about it right now.
I'm back. Yes, I have been giving a road test to the Omega Alpha Equines product called Herba. Oh, no, it's gone. Herba.
No.
Herbicoff? No, it's not the Herbicoff.
Herbaluminant.
Herbicoat, thank you. Herbicoat. Isn't that terrible? I got myself a 32-ounce jug of Herbicoat, and I got it specifically for our next-door neighbor's horse, Pablo. And Pablo has terribly itchy skin. He's got a mild case of sweet itch from the bugs down here, and we've got lots and lots and lots of bugs. And it's labeled as a liniment. You put it on after the horse has a bath, and it makes his coat soft and shiny and supple and all those things. But it has citronella in it, and it has neem oil in it. And I'm looking at that and going, now, wait a minute. I know for a fact that insects do not like citronella, and they don't like neem oil. So even though we don't give Pablo a bath every day, he gets a spritz with the Herbicoat every single day in the morning. And I had an 80% reduction in this horse's sweet itch. Because before he scratched so much, he had no hair in his ears. It was gone. They were all puffed up and swollen from scratching all the time. Ears have a little bit of hair now. They're not swollen at all. And the great part about it is because it's formulated so that it can be a skin and coat conditioner, if you put a lot on, you know how some people, especially if you have a horse that's bad about fly spray, you tend to hold the sprayer right up against their skin to make sure it gets on.
Yeah.
And when you use the fancy chemical ones, that blisters their skin. This stuff doesn't. If you get it too close, it doesn't hurt his skin at all. So if he's dancing around, which he's prone to doing, and you get a little too much here or not enough there, it doesn't hurt him in the least. And I am just very, very pleased. Now, this is strong stuff. Most of the time you come across natural fly sprays, this is not labeled as a natural fly spray, but it has a very similar ingredient profile. They just don't work. Right?
Yeah.
Get the one in the green
bottle. Right, yeah, right.
Won't hurt the environment.
Does this work for fly spray too?
Yes, that's what I've been using it on them every day. Because the reason I know it's working as a fly spray is sweet itch is caused by insect bites from a very specific fly. The only reason the sweet itch is going to go away is because the bugs aren't biting in.
We have that exact same thing, but we don't call it sweet itch, and I'm drawing a blank of what it is now. But Jet gets it really, really bad in the summertime, where, you know, they get that little fly bites them, and then they get, but I have to give him steroid shots every summer because he just goes so crazy itchy, and he rubs so much on the fence. We had to put a scratching post out there for him, which he spooked at for like a year. But yeah, because he's rubbing on our fences and knocking them over. So I need to put him in a scratching post. But I'm interested that's really cool. So it's not supposed to be a fly spray.
It's not labeled as a bug repellent in any way. It's labeled as a coat and skin conditioner, which I guess is even better because their skin is irritated when they have sweet itch, or some people call them summer sores, but I think there is a little bit of a difference between
summer itch. Summer itch.
Summer
is
itch.
What it's called here. Yeah.
So for a horse that has, you know, a problem with bugs, it's kind of twofold. I am in love with this stuff. It's very strong. If you get it on your hands, even after you wash your hands, you will have it on your hands all day.
Oh, and I don't
so
think
you won't
it
get
smells
the bug
good
either.
Either.
I don't
think
it smells wonderful.
She thinks it smells wonderful. I don't like how it smells, but
yeah,
but it works. That's the important part.
Herbicoat.
Jennifer, why do you have to smell good for your husband anyway? Who cares what he thinks?
Jeez. Demanding bugger, isn't he?
OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you'll find it. Well, next up, we have an interview that Wendy and I did, and we chatted with Kathy Meyer, who is the Senior Vice President of the USEF Network, that's United States Equestrian Federation Network, which is their TV arm. And we had a chance to catch up with her to learn a little bit about the network and to talk about the event at Live Oak going on this weekend. So we'll be back with more show. We're also going to be talking about Rolex here in a little bit as well. So we have a whole bunch of show left for you right after we hear from Kathy Meyer. And Wendy and I would like to welcome Kathy Meyer. She's Senior Vice President of the USEF Network, and we're going to talk a little about that. We have never really talked about the USEF Network here on the show, so we want to talk a little bit about that first. Tell us about the USEF Network, what it is and what it does.
Thank you, Glenn and Wendy. I'm honored to be here with you today, and excited to talk about the USEF Network. We've been probably 4 years in delivering top competition and live streaming from top competition across the country and across the breeds and disciplines of the United States Equestrian Federation, and have garnered huge audience across all of these breeds and disciplines, with these engaged equestrians and an audience watching this live competition. I think one of the unique offerings of the USEF Network is the on-demand ability to look at and watch the full program as well as individual ride clips across all of the programming that is broadcast on the USEF Network. You frequently can have an opportunity to watch a live stream, but you have to watch it live. You don't have the opportunity to go back and watch it at your convenience,
right?
And when it works for you. So,
basically, you guys are DVRing it for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And which we have huge viewership, and that drives a lot of numbers, the on-demand offerings beyond the actual live coverage. And
let's back up a little bit. And for our foreign listeners, which we have a lot of, yeah, USEF stands for United States Equestrian Federation. For those that don't know, and you guys are the ones that are putting out the network. You cover a lot of different disciplines, from jumping to dressage to the one we're going to be talking about in a minute, driving. But there's a whole bunch of different things from East Coast, West Coast, all over the place. I was just looking at your broadcast schedule. We, of course, have Live Oak International, which is driving, coming up, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And you know, there's a whole bunch of different other events that you cover that they can find on the website. Is this a free service?
It is, yes.
Okay, that's what makes it truly unique right there.
Well, there are several opportunities to view live competition coverage in the free environment, but I think where the USEF Network distinguishes itself is in the caliber and quality of the broadcast. We have a very robust and powerful content delivery network, which the network has, the USCF network is built on, that's been incredibly reliable and robust and allows you, we also have been delivering ahead of most other options to mobile devices, television or telephone and iPad and Android, and very seamlessly. We also have the opportunity, we'll put up the a course map, the orders of go. If a competition has a program, like frequently we'll be able to actually put the program up in an e-flip. So it's almost as if you're at the event yourself, flipping through the program, watching the live coverage, and if there's live scoring and results going on, we'll link to that as well. And when we have the opportunity and a large enough infrastructure and internet services, we can stream at very, very high resolution so that you can deliver it right to your television in your living room as well. And it's, we shoot only in HD when we're actually doing the production, which will be the case here at Live Oak. And we also have the same weekend, we have a production crew at the Carolina International CIC as well. So it's going to be an action-packed weekend.
So you can watch driving eventing and eventing, riding eventing. You can watch two kinds of eventing that weekend. But we really want you to watch, and this is one of the reasons we have you on, we really want you to watch Live Oak. Wendy and I will be there, and we're proud to be doing the announcing for the live stream on Marathon Day and Cones Day on Saturday and Sunday. It should be a lot of fun. Of course, we've interviewed a ton of these drivers already over the years with the Driving Radio Show. And, you know, we've had Chester Weber on many times and, you know, gotten to know Chester pretty well. Wendy knows him, obviously, from her days of driving Fortin Hand. So we're really looking forward to doing that and providing an entertaining look at Marathon that day.
Well, and this will be the third year that the USCF Network has live streamed from Live Oak. It's a unique event, and with the advent of also the jumping, it's so you get a full day of marathon, you get some show jumping as well as the cones, and it's an exciting event. A lot of spectator appeal. It's of course a beautiful venue, and we're very excited to be able to have the multi-camera on course, on the marathon course, get down, you know, into the hollow and some of these fabulous obstacles that are just so incredibly exciting to watch and to listen. That's the other thing that the USCF Network is built its reputation on the audio and being able to hear and sense what it's like being absolutely as if you're standing right there at the obstacle live.
Now, we question their taste in announcers occasionally, like when they asked us to do it. But you know, we'll get through it. It'll be good. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, we're looking forward to doing it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I've watched many events on there, and I just think it's great. I love the quality because I do stream stuff through my Roku to the TV set. So for me, it, you know, I almost, you know, I prefer to watch it on the big screen. And when you watch stuff that's not done in HD on the big screen, it just sucks. It's just not good. So good job there. You guys really have put a lot of time and effort into this from where it first started 4 years ago. You really have put a lot of time and effort into it, and it shows. It really does show.
Well, thank you very much. We're very proud of it. When we had over a million users last year and view 5.5 million video plays throughout the year, which is very exciting that the sport is, equestrian sport's getting this kind of exposure. A lot of very loyal followers and looking to see what's up on the network, and then I think it's really exciting to be able to cross promote and share the disciplines and the breeds and the whole of equestrian, as opposed to sort of being singled into one discipline or one breed, which a lot of the other opportunities out there. This really allows for a lot of promotion across the entire sport and makes for equestrian enthusiasts a great opportunity for equestrian enthusiasts.
Very good. It's Live Oak International coming up, and it is going to be March the 18th through the 22nd. If you want to hear Wendy and I, we will be on the 21st and the 22nd. I think it starts at 8 or 9 in the morning. We'll get more details to you about that. You go to usefnetwork.com. You can find the coverage. There will also be a link off of Live Oak's website at liveoakinternational.com. And, you know, I would say this, and I've said this to our audiences and to the listeners on all the different shows. If you have never watched Marathon Day with carriages and have never seen that, whether in person or on TV, you've got to watch it once. If you like cross country and eventing, you will love this. It just adds a whole new element to it, adding the carriage and the obstacles the way they are. You will absolutely love watching this. One of my favorite things to watch in all of horse sport. So definitely tune in. And the way to watch it, actually, is on the USEF Network. If you're not close, don't feel bad you can't get to Live Oak, because you'll see more of it than you would if you were walking around, because if you're walking around, you can only see one or two at a time. So it's actually a better way to see it.
Exactly. Yeah, we're excited to be there.
Very good. Thank you so much, Kathy. USEFnetwork.com.
Coach Jen here, and as usual, Debbie is here from EquestrianCollections.com with the EquestrianCollections.com product of the week. And what wonderful, fantastic, matchy-matchy pair of products do you have for us today, Debbie?
Well, you know, everybody who listens to me at all or has over the years knows that I am a big one for color. And this year, Tough Rider has outdone itself. Last month, I talked about the neon breeches that come from Tough Rider. Well, now they have a saddle pad that has those same colors. They have come in two colors. It's a dark charcoal base, and the outside of the pad is ringed with either peach colors or neon green colors. Those match perfectly with the neon ventilated shirt, and that comes in short sleeved and long sleeved. It also comes in the neon green and the peach, and it also comes in some other colors, blue and yellow, but they don't have pads for those colors, but they've got those neon colors as well. That matches with the breeches, and Tough Rider also has marathon tights that are out with those colors as well. So if you look on our site, under all you have to do is put in Tough Rider Neon, N-E-O-N, in the search engine, and all these different products will come up, and they will match. And I got myself, Glenn always teases me because I buy everything, but I got myself the neon green pad and shirt, and it worked so well, I made my sisters buy them too, so we would all look the same when we go on Judge Pleasure rides and things.
It's not enough that you're matchy-matchy. You want the whole family to be matchy-matchy.
Yeah, and the shirt fits true to size, which I wanted to be sure to try one on to be sure. But it fits. It really does fit true to size. There is a size chart on the site. So if you, I'm usually an extra large, and the extra large fits me beautifully. So I feel real comfortable in recommending that. I mean, everybody's a little different, but the size chart does seem to be very true to size for this product. So I think that if it was me and somebody told me to look on the website under the Tough Rider Neon, I would have a fit because it's so cool. So I would suggest that you take a look, and I'll bet I'll see everybody out there on the trail rides, and we'll all be dressed just alike.
There we go. It's beautiful. I love that the body of each of these garments, or the majority of the garment, is the lovely soft charcoal gray, and there's just a little splash of neon. I like that. It's very
classy.
That's
right. It's not overwhelming, and it doesn't have a huge logo on it or anything. It's just got the little logo at the, you know, it's a quarter zip. So it just comes down and has the little logo. It's really, really looks nice. You'll wear it even without the saddle pad.
Yes, it's a very classy looking item, something that you would expect to see at the high-end sportswear store. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. With the technical, it's got the technical fabric, all the good, you know, all the bells and whistles.
You bet.
But mostly I like the color.
Mostly the color.
and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Thanks, Jennifer. Glenn, you know, on Friday, what's today? Monday? On Friday, you had a list of racehorse names that were weird racehorse names. And I know
they were very sexual list. It was a very sexual list of racehorse names.
It was very weird and sexual, and some of them were inappropriate. And so I found something online that I think you will like. And I found the race. Do you remember the race of her? The horse's name is Harass, H-A-R-A-S-S. Sounds normal enough.
Yeah.
I found the race. And not only did I find the race, Jimmy Kimmel found the race. So it's our good friend Larry Colmus making the call, and I got it from Jimmy Kimmel. Here, you listen.
This is pretty great. This comes from a horse race at Gulfstream Park in Florida yesterday. One of the horses was named Harass, which resulted in what is perhaps the most entertaining horse race announcing I have ever heard.
And it is Charlevoix and Harass out of the gate quickly. Charlevoix will take the lead. Harass will sit back running in second. March on the leader. Charlevoix running in second. Harass right behind them in third. And now Julien Le Perrou gets Harass going on the outside. And it's Charlevoix in front. Harass on the outside tries to close the gap. Tapestry is down toward the rail. Lots is there. And on the far outside, Season Ticket. It is Charlevoix in front. Here comes Harass. And here comes Season Ticket on the far outside. And Season Ticket goes by Harass late to win.
Nobody does that better than Colmus. When they have the funny names, you want him calling the race. He's just so good at it.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The guy that we interviewed that okays the thoroughbred names, like, he's the guy that goes stamp of approval. I'm sure he needs a younger person in there with him to be like, no. This you need to make the call in your head. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a normal name, Harass. H-A-R-A-S-S, but then it sounds like her, H-E-R. Anyway, there you go.
That's what happens when Larry gets a hold of those names. He just uses, he knows what makes him famous.
I know.
It's those calls.
I know. He gets those calls, and he does such a good job on them, too. It's just great. I think it wouldn't sound as good as if it came from somebody with an English accent, like the guy standing in
It needs to be him.
Yeah.
No, the snarky ones need to be Americans. It needs to be Larry. Yeah. Well,
now, speaking of racing, I have a news story. You almost need to see the pictures, so we'll post the link in our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. A photographer was in England at a race, at Cheltenham Racecourse in Gloucestershire. And this photographer was at the race. It's a timber race. So the horses are jumping big brush fences. And as they're coming up to the brush fence, you can see the video and the link I'll give you. As they're coming up to the brush fence, the horse kind of in the middle veers to the outside and runs into a horse that is on the rail. Well, these are the kind of rails that give, unfortunately for the horse, the rails kind of gave way. Unfortunately for the photographer who was standing right there as the horses went by and the rail collapsed on top of him, the photographer was knocked down and then run over by the horse that broke through the fence, and he broke his leg and has already had surgery, broke his leg in a couple places. And nobody really realized that was going on. And you can see the race announcers are like, oh, that photographer, he's probably thanking his lucky stars right now. He jumped out of the way. Well, he didn't make it. He did not make it. It is pretty brutal. But he got some amazing photos. That, you know what? That's what's the most important, is keep the camera rolling. And he did, and these are great pictures of the horse that's bearing down on him to break his leg. I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now.
See, that's why I wouldn't make a good photographer. I'd have been out of there. I wouldn't have hung around to take them pictures. I'm gone.
He didn't actually have a lot of time because horses jump over the other side of the timber, and the timber goes all the way across. And so he didn't really see them coming until they were pretty much on top of him.
Wow. Well, I got to give a shout out to our friends in New Zealand. We have quite a few listeners down there, and we in the United States are not the only one that have weather, believe it or not. It seems like we're always talking about the weather in the United States because we do have things that other people don't see. But New Zealand's Horse of the Year show is going on this week, and that's a huge show for them. 2,600 horses and riders. You know, we're talking about national championships. We're talking about jumping and all different kinds of equestrian events over the entire week. Well, they also had a cyclone come in, their version of a hurricane. And this cyclone had done some damage before it hit New Zealand. 40 people were dead. There were houses and crops destroyed. And, you know, the aid workers described the situation on one of the islands, Vanuatu, as disastrous and catastrophic. They had a lot of the horses, 1,100 of the horses were at the event already when the cyclone came in, and they had to take them out of the tents, the temporary stall tents that they sent up, and move them into permanent buildings. So there were 3,000 people and 1,100 horses that spent the night at the showgrounds, and they relocated them into buildings on the grounds. Can you imagine what an interesting night that was?
Wow.
You know, buildings that weren't necessarily meant to house horses had horses in them, and they were just hunkering down. And the winds did not get as bad as they thought. Apparently, the torrential rains came through, but the winds at the area that they were at did not get as bad as they thought, and everybody survived the night. And they're going to be going back to competing, and the rest of the horses arriving shortly. So they're going to, it's going to be okay. And they're supposed to have beautiful weather the rest of the week for the Horse of the Year show in New Zealand, but they dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's amazing.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit about the Jekyll Center. Helping us provide our live coverage of Road to the Horse is Equine Performance at the Jekyll Center, located 30 minutes southwest of Nashville, Tennessee. If you live anywhere near Tennessee, you're going to want to pay attention to this. Equine Performax is a specialized equine sports therapy practice that focuses on injury prevention, evaluation, treatment, and rehabilitation for performance enhancement of sport horses of all disciplines. If your horse has been injured, you can accelerate recovery with the affordable rehab alternative at Equine Performax. They have all different kinds of things, including standing MRIs. They have cold leg spas, Pegasus lasers, AquaPacer, a solarium, Equipulse, vibe plates, therapeutic ultrasound, and so much more. And they offer a guarantee like no other. The no diagnostic, no fee guarantee. That's right. If they can't find the source of your horse's lower limb lameness, you don't pay a fee. That's Equine Performax at the Jekyll Center, located 30 minutes southwest or south of Nashville, Tennessee. The website is equineperformax.com. That's equineperformax.com. It's an absolutely beautiful place, and they know what they're doing. So check them out today, equineperformax.com. Let's hear from Raquel Renner in I Want to Know You, and then we're coming back after that with Jenny from Eventing Nation with our Rolex preview.
With you, I want to talk with you. I want to see the world through your eyes. I want to stay with you. I want to play with you. Hear the rain fall down from your sky. Don't be afraid. You think they mean? I want to feel what makes your heart beat. If you take a stand that I don't understand, it's okay if it's confusing to me.
That's Raquel Renner, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And now it's the time of day. I get so excited when it's the time of the month, or the time of the year, really, when it's Rolex. And we've got a Rolex preview. Jenny from Eventing Nation is here with us with a Rolex preview. And I've just been reading about all these new people that are going to be going to Rolex. Jenny, what can you tell us? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fantastic.
It's a really exciting time of year for us as well. It's just coming up around the corner, April 23rd to the 26th. And this is really the Super Bowl of U.S. eventing. It's one of only 6 four-star events in the world. Four-star is the toughest level you have in eventing. And Kentucky is the only four-star event we have in North America. So it's a really exciting time for eventing fans, not just here in the U.S., but around the world as well. And all eyes will be on Lexington, Kentucky, coming up in just a little over a month here.
Oh, my gosh. We are, like, almost 5 weeks away. This is the first time I'm not going in years and years. These family members of mine want to have, like, 70th birthdays and all this ridiculous stuff. Really, I would like to be at Rolex as usual. But, of course, this year, we've got so many people that are riding. You know, I've ridden with Barb Crabo, and she's going to be making her way. And then, of course, Alisa Wallace, we are just the hugest fans of on this show, and she is officially in too, right?
Yes, she is. It's an exciting time for Barb. She won the 3-star at Gateway Downs last year, so we're all really thrilled that she's going to be making that trip. And then Alisa, of course, is such an advocate for Mustangs and giving those horses a second chance. She won't be riding a Mustang around the track at Kentucky, but she's bringing a really exciting horse in Simply Priceless, who's one that she's brought through the levels. And, yeah, she should make a really nice debut with him.
Who are some of the others that are more sleepers? You know, I mean, I know we're going to talk about William Fox Pitt, and we're going to talk about Andrew Nichols and all those Europeans that are going to come over here and try to kick our butt. But what I want to know is, who are the people that are American that we might not have heard of?
Sure. Well, one that you really want to have on your radar is Liz Halliday Sharp. She's American, but she's been living in England for the past 15 years. So we haven't heard a lot from her, but she's been quietly racking up those really strong results, you know, across the pond where you have very stiff competition. And she has two horses entered who are really, really looking strong. So those horses are Fernhill by Night and HHS Cooley. Cooley was just second place at the 3-star at Red Hills 2 weekends ago. So he's definitely going to be somebody that we want to keep our eye on. So that's the one who's my sleeper pick to really come out swinging and have a really good performance in her debut at the 4-star level.
Jenny,
okay,
we,
let me,
we, let me jump in here quick. We Liz Halliday has been a guest in our show dating back 7 years. We interviewed her on the Stable Scoop show years ago, and it wasn't about venting. She was just really getting started over there and, you know, coming up the ranks. It was about her race car driving, because she's also a formula race car driver.
Yes. And highly decorated in the race car, too, which is really cool.
She's done the 24-hour Le Mans race, one of the very few women that has done that race. And you know, those road races is what she's good at. She's also driven the antique race car in the antique race car races, which are kind of fun that they do over there because they're all road races. And she's also done announcing at Le Mans. She's done the 24-hour announcing at Le Mans. Very well-spoken and a lot of fun. And I'm so glad. This is her first time coming over here to Rolex, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be her first four-star, and she's been in Florida all winter preparing and just looks really, really strong. She's a fantastic competitor, very cool under pressure because, like you said, not only has she competed so long in eventing, but also has that experience behind the wheel in a race car. So just somebody who I'm excited about personally for our team, you know, looking ahead to the Pan American Games and even ahead to the Olympics. I think she's somebody who has firmly put herself on the radar. So definitely Kentucky is going to be a big event for her.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I now have a new girl crush. Her and Alisa Wallace are my new girl crushes. Like, she's badass. That's awesome.
She's a great pick.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, no, I also love the fact that, you know, so many Australian and Brits are come over here and live and, you know, steal the spotlight from our American riders. I love that she's over there and she's going to come back and bring with her that knowledge. It's awesome. So moving on, that's Liz Halliday Sharp, correct?
Yes.
That's her name. Okay. Another one that I'm super excited about is Ellen Doty, who got married at Rolex last year. She was supposed to ride in her first Rolex with Sir Oberon, and he didn't pass the jog getting there.
Right.
But she ended up getting married on him, married by David O'Connor, who took the online course and you know, got signed up or whatever. I love the fact that he's wearing a Land Rover hat in the wedding photos. Like,
fantastic.
It's so great. So
yeah,
she's
actually qualified
again.
She has. I mean, what a trooper to go have your wedding there and then you don't pass the jog. I mean, she just had a smile on her face anyway all weekend. I mean, she's a fighter and definitely somebody who, you know, just isn't going to give up. And I love that. That's the spirit of eventing and that tenacity is what we really like to see. She's had a series of good performances in years past. She was in the top 10 at Fair Hill 2 years ago, which is one of our most difficult events here in the U.S. So I think she's definitely someone to keep an eye on as well. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Who else do you have as your sleeper picks?
Well, I mean, we have a huge group of first-timers. You know, Rolex is the pinnacle. It's what you work toward your whole riding career. So it's exciting to see a lot of the first-timers on the list. But I have to say, she's somebody who we've seen before, but Lauren Kiefer with Veronica, she was second last year to be our national champion and the highest-placed American, and they just keep looking better and better. The mare is she's so solid. She knows her job in the ring so well. Lauren has never been riding better. It's an extremely exciting time to be following along with Lauren. So if anyone is going to challenge this strong European contingent that we have coming over, my money is on Lauren to really deliver that performance that we saw last year and then step it up a notch to try and take that win. It's exciting.
Veronica is the horse that used to be ridden by Karen O'Connor before her injury, correct?
Yes, and, you know, a mare can be an extremely solid competitor once you build that relationship, and Lauren got that ride a few years ago after Karen retired from competing and eventing, and we've seen that partnership come along methodically. And even last year, Lauren had said the relationship still wasn't quite there, and when you saw what they did with that relationship not quite where she wanted it to be to finish second place to William Fox Pitt, who's won the event three times. I mean,
never
thinking
heard of
about
him.
Now. Oh, yeah, that guy. But so now a year later, for the relationship to have progressed that much more, it's really exciting to think what we're going to see from them this year. So I'm thrilled that they're coming back. I'm excited, and I think that they really could put the pressure on this strong European contingent that we have coming over.
Absolutely. And you mentioned William Fox Pitt. Does he have 47 horses injured yet?
Yes, just about. He, not only is he bringing three very nice horses, but he has two past winners that he is bringing. Park Lane Hawk won it in 2012. Bay My Hero won it last year. So, needless to say,
Start a rumor and get him on the no-fly list?
Well, in addition to that, they aren't officially on the entry list, but we do have confirmation that we have some German riders coming over, including Michael Young, who has said he plans to bring La Biosphatique Sam FBW, who is his, you know, triple gold medalist, as well as Fisher Rakana, who won the individual silver at the World Equestrian Games last year. So assuming that they actually show up on the entry list, as he said, it's going to be quite a stiff competition, to say the least.
That means the over-under for an American winning just went through the floor.
And every year, that's what we hope for. It's been quite a long time. The last American to win it was Philip Dutton. That was, you know, quite a while ago now. So every year, we really hope that that's going to happen. And, you know, we do have a very strong American contingent. Speaking of Philip Dutton, he has confirmed that he will enter Mr. Medicott, who is, of course, extremely experienced, has been to two Olympic Games, has been to a World Equestrian Games.
But the poor John Holling's not entering anybody, or he did enter somebody.
Well,
I don't think he's going to make it. Tell us what happened.
I know. We're so disappointed for him. And he hasn't said for sure yet that he won't be able to compete. But unfortunately, over the weekend, he did break his leg in a cross-country schooling accident. So he's definitely sidelined. John has such a great attitude and is such a wonderful, dedicated individual to our sport. He serves on a number of committees with the USEA, and so he's just somebody who you always are rooting for, and so we're all so heartbroken for him to have such an ill-timed accident. It's possible he could be on the mend in time, but unfortunately he might be watching from the sidelines this year.
Yeah, you had to put the x-ray of his leg up, didn't you?
We eventers like to see those x-ray photos. That's like our badge of honor.
No, that is not true. I am an eventer, and I do not like to see people. But John, I'm friends with John on Facebook, and he posted that yesterday, along with this horse unfortunately had a fall, and while scrambling to get up, stepped on my leg. And here's the photo of my broke-ass leg. Gross.
You understated that. He said, unfortunately, when he got up, he stepped all over me and broke my leg. And I think he was just happy that they didn't break his head.
I was at Copper Meadows one time, and, James Atkinson had broken his femur, and he's like, yeah, here's the x-ray, and he pulls up his phone and shows the x-ray, like, boom, it's like the screensaver, and Barb Crable is like, oh, you think that's bad? She pulls up her phone, and she's got her thing on the screensaver of what her broken leg looks like. I mean, y'all are disgusting.
But we also talked about posting all of the x-ray photos on Eventing Nation and have everyone vote, like, rank the best x-ray photo, which, of course, would mean the worst x-ray photo, the most gnarly one, the most bone shard, you know.
Oh, well, who's going to do that? Davidson is the one who's going to. They just have to do an x-ray of his whole body, and you would see the scars from all the broken bones.
He has quite a gnarly collarbone, I will say.
I would still look and vote, though, I got to tell you.
Of course. Like, it's one of those things where you don't want to look, but you can't look away. I mean, come on, let's all be honest here.
Absolutely. Well, listen, any final Rolex words for us?
Absolutely. If you are coming to Kentucky for the event, stop by the Eventing Nation tailgate party on Cross Country Day. We have not one but two premium tailgate spots this year, so the party is going to be bigger.
It's good you do, because they were going to kick your ass out last year, so it's good you had two.
Yes. The party got a little bit out of control last year, so we have expanded to try and mitigate the issue, but we have so much fun. We love our readers, and we love that they love to have a great time. So do we. So the party's going to be bigger and better than ever. It's sponsored by World Equestrian Brands, so we're going to have a ton of great prizes that we're giving away all day. And, of course, lots of food and beer. And please come out. and find us. Just look for the red and white flag on our tent on Cross Country Day.
Glenn and I would know absolutely nothing about your free beer and your party getting out of control last year. Okay, I was so militant about walking the entire course, and I've got to see every rider, and then I got to your tent, and then I stayed there the rest of the time. I was like,
it's the place to be. It's the place to be on Cross Country Day, that is for sure.
Well, we met up with Lisa Wallace's dad there, remember? And then that was it. That's all. We were done.
The
chinchilla will be out taking pictures of everyone, so it's just going to be a great time.
Before you go, Jenny, catching you off guard with this one, but, obviously, and we've talked about it a little bit here on the show, there's been some new eventing rules, and that has brought everybody that ever evented, including some of the old-timers, Denny Emerson and everybody, coming out and talking about, what's wrong with eventing, and it's got to change, and too many horses dying, and we go through this every time there's a couple that unfortunately don't get around a cross-country course. So you guys have been covering it too. Is it more now? I mean, is the furor raising now more than it has in the past, or is this just another cycle?
I would like to say this is not another cycle. I mean, I think at some point we need to get to the point where we are starting to look for real solutions and permanent solutions. I think that deaths used to be more accepted than they were in the past, and that's not anymore. And obviously, I would say that that's a good thing, that people care much more passionately now about horse welfare, and they're not just willing to accept that deaths happen. I don't think that deaths should be happening, not for horses or for humans. So I think that the dialogue is encouraging right now, that so many people are talking about it, and Eventing Nation is committed to being at the forefront of that discussion and that debate.
Well, good for you. I mean, I think you're right, and good for you guys for taking it on, because it's one of those topics that, we all agree on that notion, right? We all agree that that we've got to find a solution. It's the problem comes in getting everybody to agree on what the solution is. That's where we run into issues.
Absolutely. And I think, these are not easy questions, and because of that, there are no easy answers. But I think I'm extremely encouraged by the momentum that is going on behind the debate right now. And this is not just a debate that's taking place in the U.S. This is taking place all over the world. I travel to all the major events around the globe, and this is a conversation that's been building momentum and gaining steam for quite some time. And so it's a global issue, and everyone is concerned about it. And I think that we all need to work together to find those solutions so that we can stop seeing these tragic accidents.
One of the things that with horse people, and especially eventers, that you're never short on is opinions.
Yes.
And especially with eventers, they're always willing to let that you know about their opinions. So
that's a horse person, Glenn. That's horse.
Yeah, that is a horse
person.
That's
true.
Well, right. What would you say? Do you have a personal opinion, or you're not going to say on what a solution might be?
I think we should focus on what we know. What we know is that rotational falls are the number one issue as far as looking at serious accidents and ultimately deaths. So I think that if we can prevent rotational falls, then we're going to be able to solve a large part of that solution. Frangible pins and other technology like that allow fences to collapse has been one of the major advancements that has allowed us to reduce rotational falls. And in the last decade, you're talking about a 50% reduction in those rotational falls because of introducing technology like frangible pins. So I would like to see more frangible pins and more frangible technologies implemented on our horses. It's not cheap to do that. And unfortunately, I think that financial reasons have meant that this technology isn't as widely used as it could be. And I personally don't believe that we should let financial obstacles stand in the way of making our courses safer. So I would like to see more money poured into implementing this technology and also researching additional frangible technology so that we can try and keep horses and riders upright, and that is ultimately going to be what keeps them safer on course.
We're never, ever, because we're dealing with horses, going to reduce it to zero. But we do need to get it down. I mean, there are people killed every day in their barn when they're not riding. I mean, we're dealing with horses, and, you know, it's always going to happen. But, I totally agree with you. And I'm sorry I put you on the spot there, but...
I'm happy to talk to you about it. And one thing that I think is important to distinguish is that, like you said, Glenn, we can never fully prevent every death, as we all have either probably experienced or known someone who experienced a horse who just dies. I mean, it can happen. It's one of the reasons that the USDA has instituted this equine cardiovascular and pulmonary study in order to look at those heart issues that are what causes the horses to die like that, because we do see a number of those deaths as well in eventing. So while
and we see them in young people that we know that are just have heart attacks, and you're going, they were only 35. That happens in people too. It's not
when I speak about wanting to see those deaths lowered, obviously I would like to see all of them lowered. We might never be able to fully prevent those heart issues. But what I'm more talking about is those rotational falls that are then leading to the catastrophic injuries that unfortunately end in saying goodbye to the horse. So that's kind of
what I think the rider can really work toward.
Well, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much. This has been fun. We need to have you more. Can we get you on maybe one more time here before Rolex?
I would love to, and especially because we're going to see a lot more names start to come onto this entry list. So I'd love to catch up with you and talk about who else we've seen and who might be the one to win it.
All right, we'll just kick Leslie the hell out another time, and we'll get you back on.
Sorry, Leslie.
See, if you weren't so good, Leslie wouldn't have this problem. But she'd probably enjoy the break. I mean, she has to put up with us every single week.
We'll give her a break.
Well, listen, I just want you to know, Glenn, that She's Cleaning song that you made me sing, speaking of Horse Nation, now has 8,000 views. It's embarrassing.
It was the biggest hit they had over there last week. You were the number one post they had last week.
I've been getting messages, stray messages from people that I haven't talked to in 10 years. Are posting on my Facebook page, oh, my God, I heard you singing the Horse Sheep Cleaning song. That's so embarrassing. Yeah, I know. I know. Thanks.
You can't go back now. There's no turning back at this point.
And it gets stuck in your head, too. Oh, God, it's awful. All right. Thank you, Jenny. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you
again
soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to it.
All right, bye.
Absolutely.
She's really good, huh?
She is good. And if you guys are heading to Rolex and or Road to the Horse, our accommodations are always provided by the Clarion Hotel in Lexington, and it's where we always stay. They have an indoor pool. Hurry and book your hotel accommodations now for Road to the Horse or Rolex at the Clarion. Your rate includes a full breakfast buffet every morning, free Wi-Fi, free airport shuttle to and from the airport for everybody who's flying with you. The Clarion Hotel is a full-service restaurant called Cortland Southern Kitchen, and if you're into bourbon, the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill is where you want to be. There's also a pizza place called Angelo's Pizza. The Clarion is on Newtown Pike, huge indoor swimming pool, whirlpool, sauna, and it's 10 minutes from the horse park. You, like Glenn said last time, you don't even have to get on the freeway. It's all back roads through beautiful Kentucky bluegrass, and the traffic is non-existent. There's one stoplight, okay? One. And it's flashing. So it's more of like a stop sign. So call 859-233-0512. Ask for the Road to the Horse group block to receive the discounted rate. Again, that is 859-233-0512, or visit them at clarionhotellex.com. And if you're going to Rolex, they have that $99 special offer. You have to call 859-233-0512 and ask to be booked in the Rolex Experience block. And then it's also right next to, what's that breakfast place with all the, they sell you all that stuff? You know, you walk in. Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
And Cracker Barrel is open late. So just saying.
That's true. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We're going to be back tomorrow morning. I got to tell you about one other thing, though. It's the pretzel. I got to tell you, we got to end the show on a pretzel. The archaeologist, this is in Regensburg, Germany. I'm trying to figure out what country it's in.
Just tell you, while you're looking at that, I have to poke some holes in this story. It's a little ridiculous.
All right. Okay. Well, they were excavating under a building that they knew was a bakery in the old days, and we're talking the 1700s and 1800s. And what they uncovered was remains of two pretzels, a piece of bread shaped like a croissant, and three small bread rolls. Well, they said it's the oldest pretzel that they've ever found. Usually stuff that is organic doesn't last for 250 years underground. So they said the reason that this lasted so long is they did think the baker burnt these things, and he just threw them in their garbage hole, and that's how they lasted. They were actually carbonized. They were burnt. And they predict that through carbon dating that they were done in 1700 or 1800. There is evidence that in 1753, a baker named Johann Georg Held lived at the site. There you go, the oldest pretzel.
Here's where I'm going to poke holes. Okay.
Yes.
First of all, the story is about pretzels, yet they also found a piece of bread shaped like a croissant. So they found a croissant and three small bread rolls. And why is the pretzel the big, you know, why is it?
Because they found bread and other stuff before. It's the oldest evidence of a pretzel that they have found.
They found croissants before? Really? They found carbonized croissants before this? Really?
Apparently.
I don't think
apparently.
So. Poking holes.
Besides,
this is from the article. We suppose the baker forgot the pieces in the oven, and afterwards he threw them away in a hole under the floor. Who throws their old food in a hole under their floor?
Jamie, you have to remember that this was the days when the chamber pots went out the window into the street. So keep that in mind.
Hole under his floor, and he forgot about them. I don't get it. I'm not buying it. Feed it to a dog. There's probably a lot of starving stray dogs back then. Throw it out the window.
Such
a ridiculous story.
Pretzel?
It's ridiculous. Sorry. Carry on. Yes. Carbonized pretzel.
What I did think was ridiculous is I thought they found the whole pretzel, you know, and it looked like a pretzel, a regular pretzel, because the story makes it sound like they found a whole pretzel. They found a couple pieces, and like a puzzle, they put them together, and what they had actually only found was about an eighth of the pretzel. So
yeah. This thing is crap. This is ridiculous. And I did find
sometimes make leaps. They make leaps.
This article, though, goes on to give you the history of pretzels. We believe that pretzels were invented sometime between...
Snyder's, by the way. Do you think this article was put out by Snyder's?
Sponsored by Snyder's Pretzels. You can find Snyder's Pretzels in your local grocery store aisle. Now,
you know,
in different flavors. Gosh,
you know what I miss the most is soft pretzels. I can't have them anymore. I love soft pretzels.
Now I'm on some ice cream and soft pretzels. My God, I'm starving to death. Listen to the show. I'm hungry.
The Horsemanship Association will be here. See you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
Yep, spay, neuter, geld, everybody. I got to take puppy to the vet to get her puppy shots.
Oh, really? That should...
Yeah. Baby and puppy at the vet. Here I come.